wrestle not against flesh and blood. Stop fighting with the flesh. Stop fighting with people. You fight the enemy with love. In the supernatural, the greatest weapon you have is love. The most important message you can give is love. Because of love, you're still here. Because of love, you have power over the enemy. Amen?
Amen.
The greatest treasure you'll ever have given to you in heaven is love. You will be accepted. Everybody loves you in heaven. And you love everybody, even if it was somebody you didn't like on this earth, and you'll probably live right next door to them, by the way. So remember the nice things, right? People say, you won't remember anything. That didn't happen to Revelation 21, y'all. Revelation 21, the former things will be remembered no more. You can't give testimony in heaven if you don't remember, right? You will give a fantastic testimony in heaven, because when you get there, you find out what happened in the spirit realm, in the supernatural realm around you throughout your whole life. And then when you give your testimony, it's really exciting. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The Holy Spirit is about to show up. For those who have continued to serve him, and even others, although they have remained in survival mode for seemingly a long time, they didn't stop loving God. You're about to come out of survival mode. Amen? You won't need a miracle. You will be the miracle. Amen. We are about to step through the portals of destiny and for a long season operate under an open heaven, even in your own home. Amen. God says, see what I will do for you. The world will know those who are mine. I will reveal you like a fine painting that has been created undercover. My blessings will be evident, and the enemy will be pushed back because of you walking in authority. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank you, Father. In the supernatural realm that heaven operates in, there is no lack. There is no sickness. There is no fear. There is life, life, life. That is what you're about to begin to walk in on this earth in the natural realm. God said before the end comes, the spiritual will be mixing with the natural realm. The spirit realm will interact with the natural realm. And it has to happen because in the days of Noah, that's exactly what was happening. But back then, it was a demonic. Remember the giants they were creating? The sin was gross. It was vile. Even much worse than it is now. It was far worse then. It hasn't got that far yet. It will eventually. As in the days of Noah, horrific things were taking place. People were given their babies for torture, to be burnt, for idols. There were demonic angels on this earth doing things unheard of before, twisting the minds of the natural people. Some of them were actually posted as watcher angels. Under Satan's rule, they became evil. If you ever wondered, they're not here now. They're bound in chains, according to the word. They will be judged later by guess who? Us. In the ages to come, you will judge angels. If you ever wondered who they were, it was those angels. They did something wrong to us, the human beings. We get to judge them. I don't think we'll have a lot of giants walking around, but there'll be all kinds of things happening on the earth. You have to be strong now. You get strong now and you grow in it. Your kids are raised up in it. Your grandkids will know nothing but that. Amen. They'll be where they will not fear death. They will not even think of dying as we do today. You have to think of them. They will become the supernatural. That's what they'll live in. Because you were brave enough and bold enough to embrace it, to go after it. God opened it up to you. You operate in it. Your kids see it. They go after it. The grandkids are raised up in it as natural. That's the natural way to live, the supernatural. They won't want anything of the enemy in their life. In the last days, and let me tell you, it cannot be the end. This is not the crash of all the finances and the economy. This is not the time for it all to finally crash. If God is going to give you the wealth of the wicked, do you believe that? Yes. And everything crashes, how are you going to send it and spend it? Now, maybe some people need to think about that, right? That hadn't even begun to happen. He has laid up the wealth for you, their lands, their properties, their businesses, their finances to operate for him in the last days. Believers will own banks. They will own banks. Amen. God said that they'll operate the bank of heaven for him on this earth, help set the body of Christ free from debt, pay off the national debt. Y'all need to shout over that one. Amen. That'll make an impact on the economy, won't it? You need to get out of your box and get God out of a box. You are his sons and his daughters. He chose you to be alive now. He wants you to walk and operate in the supernatural realm. He wants to trust you with great wealth. I don't have a problem saying that because I've seen heaven's wealth. They're not broke. You wear that stuff on your clothes. You wear it as jewelry. Even on some parts of your body and your face, you will wear beautiful gems. You walk on them in your house. They're in your walls. God's not poor. And he doesn't want his people to be poor, but he wants them to honor him, to live right, to walk in the Spirit, to kick the enemy out of their life and out of their homes and their neighborhoods. Because you know why? You need that light that's on the inside of you to blast into the darkness. You need to be a torch in the midst of darkness. And no matter where you go, darkness flees from you. The word says at one point, even the night will be light round about you when you walk outside. That's the glory visibly being seen on you, not carrying a little light. It's coming out of you. When you walk outside, there will be light. Amen? God calls us champions, those who are alive now in the last days, the beginning of the last days. You are his champions. And he said there's a big difference in a winner and a champion. You might win first place in a race, but you may not do much on your run. A champion never gives up. Even if they fall, if something gets in their way, they may come in last, but they're still a champion because they finished their race and made a difference in their life for him. You are heaven's champions. When you begin to operate in the supernatural, you will literally feel the anointing leave your body. You'll even see it sometimes. You better look at people and tell if they're believers or not. If people don't like me talking about the seer anointing, who do they think created it? Everyone in the spirit realm is a seer. They live in it. If God opens your eyes to see, that's a seer. It's not some great big mystery. The word says if you have ears to hear, he's talking about the spirit realm, by the way. Those who have eyes to see, he's talking about the spirit realm. It talks about it in the word of God. He wants you to have that ability. The closer you get to him, the more of it comes into you, it'll begin to change the structure of your hearing and your seeing. It just comes with it. People ask me all the time, pray for me, I'll get it. I can't give it to you. I'm not God. I pursued him more than anything else in my life for 20 years, 4 hours a night. I pursued him. I didn't want anything. I didn't care about food. I didn't care about sleeping. I didn't try to impress anybody. I didn't need to have a little clique or a group. I never understood peer pressure. I didn't need to. I had a tribe at home. I'm one of 15. I didn't need anybody else's approval. I wanted God. My dad had him. My grandmother had him. I saw their lives. I wanted what they had, and I went after it. There's a price you pay for him. You give up a part of yourself, your time. It's not a big thing to lay down things that you think aren't good, right? You're just going to get more of him in there. He's already moved in anyway. If you receive Christ, you need to keep a clean place for him, don't you? Take him to see things you think he wouldn't mind seeing. He don't want a fellowship with the enemy. Amen. It's really not that hard, but people's eyes have just been blinded by the enemy that things are like, it's a romance story. No, the seducing spirit's pulling you into that junk. What is any vampire going to do for you? I'm serious. We had somebody that watched those movies, taped those movies all the time, and somebody was visiting their home, and they saw a spirit of death walking up and down their hallways waiting. And they began to have attacks on their body. To this day, they still have attacks on their body. You don't want to mess with that stuff. It isn't from God. Amen? You need to write new scripts for movies, go to actor school, producer school, and produce some really awesome, exciting things that people can watch. Amen. And I'll tell you one thing, he is about to do something with his leaders in the body of Christ. Amen. They should be more excited than anybody right now. Amen. Because when God releases new things, he always sends it to the head. And those who are the head in charge of ministries, churches, and even lay ministry that God's using these days ahead, you'll be some of the first ones walking in that stuff. Because you got to set an example for those under you to follow you. They see it in you, they're going to want it. And some of these men and women of God need to live holy lives. You can't sleep with the enemy and train up your people to do the work of the ministry. Is that right? And some of them think because they're anointed and gifted, it's okay to sin. They're beyond that. And there are some out there doing that. And it's a shame. It is. They need to repent or step down and find something else to do. Because I'll tell you, in the days ahead, because God's presence is coming back to his house, holiness is coming back to his house, and if they don't lay down and change what they're doing, they will drop dead. That is a serious statement, and I mean it. God means it. When he says the manifest presence of God will abide in his home, the glory cloud will abide in the churches, and people will run in there to get in the presence of God, you can't come in there and lie and sin if you belong to him. It only happened a couple times, and people will change, won't they? Or they won't want to come. So you can't have sin, can't enter into the glory without causing a response. Now the sinners can run in and find God, but just like Ananias and Sapphira that lied, they may as well have lied to God himself. They lied, and these were believers, they lied. Did they live? They're not going to do it in the years ahead either. So God right now was shaking and waking up his body. You better see what you're doing in your life. And how can you call yourself a man or woman of God when you're not living right? Your gift does not qualify you that men and women have to invite them to speak to their congregations. Don't invite someone to speak to your congregation if they're not living right. Amen. You don't want that imparted into your people. It doesn't say know them by their gifts. The word says, know them by their fruit. Is righteousness one of those?
Yes.
Well, if they aren't living righteous, I wouldn't let them come. And if they say, well, you have to, you say, where's your righteousness? Show me your righteousness, I'll let you come. You don't have it, you don't speak for God. God is right now dealing with the hearts of all of his leaders. You better wake up. If that's my house, I am coming to take it back. And if they don't yield and change their lives, he said he would remove some of them, and he said some of them would drop dead. Because judgment comes where first? That's right. Aren't you glad? Because those who have been living righteous, been under attack or persecution, but still pushing into his presence, leading God's people into his presence, you will explode in your ministry. You will have rapid increase in the people and the caliber of the people God will send you. He's going to send you some. You're not even going to have to train for 6 years so they can stand up and take an offering. They'll already be walking in that place with him. He's going to send people like pillars that will hold up the hands of the leaders so they can actually have time to be with God instead of straightening out every person who comes in the door. Amen. You shout amen over that. He showed me in the years ahead, there'll be signs out in the foyer where the people come in that say, do not enter in with hidden sin in your life, or you take your life in your own hands. How about that one? And when people walk in, the Holy Spirit will convict them right there. If they dare to enter in after that, they'll probably be dragging them out. Amen. He showed me during that season on the earth, when it gets to that point where the glory is so great, that he showed me angels will visibly be seen, holding open the doors to the sanctuary for the people to come in. You're about to live in a supernatural time on this earth. Supernatural life should be yours. You were created by a supernatural God, a supernatural being, to live in the supernatural realm. It's something that's supposed to be yours. Amen. I praise God that your pastors have taught you and raised you up to that. It is your right to live in the supernatural, above the natural realm, above natural circumstances. Amen. So God is doing something different. It's the new thing that he's going to do. He will not do things in the same way he always has in the past. And he told me, I'm coming, the Holy Ghost is coming in fullness to take over congregations, even where they're not invited. I'd like to be there when that happens, wouldn't you? If you don't think that he's the drama part of heaven, you're about to find out. Because he is. He loves to stir things up. He likes to make you act in ways you never thought you would before. Fill you full of boldness. You won't care what people think. You won't care what they think you look like. I could care less what people think about my pink hair. God gave it to me. Amen. Now, I'm not talking to children here. I made that perfectly clear. But God does not care what color your hair is. It has nothing to do with whether you're holy or not, or whether you can get into heaven or not. You don't care if you got green hair with orange stripes. You're loving for him. He's going to use you. But anyone who's under their parents, you honor your parents. I'm telling you, you'll bring special blessings in your life if your parents don't have to keep asking you to do something. You actually volunteer. They may faint and fall out. It won't be the Holy Ghost. It'll be them shocked that you actually cleaned your room and did something for them without having to ask. God will give you special blessings. It says you'll have a long and prosperous and happy life. So you young kids, get a clue. Stop thinking about just you. And do something if it needs to be done. All you children, say amen.
Amen.
All you youth, say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I think the reason why God wants you to be like a child to come home to heaven is you're going to have so much fun you won't know where to start. And you may think, well, I'm 80. I don't like loud music. You won't care when you get to heaven. You look like you're 20. I've seen them dancing in the streets in their mansions. It doesn't matter. They dance everywhere. They celebrate everywhere. They're so excited to be there. Things they never dreamed of. It's the things never dreamed of that God gives you there. But the miraculous thing is, he's about to give us that stuff down here too. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Stand up for just a minute. I only got a couple more things to say. Amen. I like to declare things to God. If God gave you a word over your life, you should be declaring it every day of your life. Call those things that be not. You know what the enemy does? He calls those things that are and never will be. That's what he wants you to think. Is that true? You need to call those things that be not. You speak. You speak them into existence. God created things with his words. You let God in your life. So let's look up and say, Father.
Father.
I'm going to run after.
The things you have planned for my life.
I'm going to walk in.
Operate in.
And live in the supernatural.
You're a supernatural God.
And I'm your supernatural child.
So get ready.
Because I'm hungry.
And I'm ready.
To run after it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You can sit down for a moment. I want to show you one more thing. You already saw a part of the supernatural realm. I showed you one angel. There's so many angels in heaven and on earth around you all the time. But the other guys are there too, so we're going to show you one of them. I was recently in Mississippi, and we had someone operating under a witchcraft spirit, kept standing up in the service screaming at me. I was trying to describe the face of God, and the enemy didn't like it. And so I'm standing up there going in my spirit and saying, what do you want me to do? He said, just pretend like you can't even hear him. Because that's what they want to do. They want to cause a scene to distract the people. So I just kept speaking about the face of God. I was talking louder. But some of the people didn't like it. They're standing up rebuking that person for me. And if they're up standing, I'll rebuke you in Jesus' name. Get out and shut your mouth. And so finally, they just kept yelling. And finally, in my spirit, I said, devil, you better shut up. And instantly, that person sat down. The only one you can say that to is the devil. And so later, when the meeting was over, they never said another thing. When the meeting was over, they came down front, not necessarily for prayer, but they got it anyway. And friends of Pastor and Tony and Cynthia were there. Henry and Lori Lavender were in that meeting, and they were ready to help do battle with the enemy. If they had to jump on that person, give them the fivefold ministry. I knew she was serious when she took her earrings off and her heels off. That person was in trouble. Y'all get real passionate about everything, don't you? She was ready to stand in on my behalf. She told my staff member, I'm ready to get out of my way. She comes anywhere near her, I'm getting her. I'm taking her down. And my sister said, I don't think that'll be necessary. When the lady came down front, she got right next to me. Barefoot and all. She stood right behind me. She's going to be right there to help me if I need help. And I just rebuked that spirit, told it had to leave. The lady started weeping. I hugged her and I said, you go home, worship God. You're free. Amen. So she had to put her heels and her earrings back on. And so we went back to her room later and I said, you know what? I'm not happy just telling it has to get out of that lady. It doesn't have any right to be here. So we took hands and said, all right, devil, you witchcraft spirit, you have to get out of town and you ain't coming back. And we said, amen. It was that simple. You have to know the authority you have through the name of Jesus. Amen. So the next day we were going back into the same city where that happened, where I had declared that. And we're driving, I'm riding in the passenger seat, and I look up and a strange phenomenon, supernatural thing started in the sky. And I took a picture of it. You can put that first one up there. And the Holy Spirit, he talks to me 24/7. He goes, is that evil spirit? It's trying to leave town, but it's embarrassed. It doesn't want you to know. It actually had to obey. Oh, that's the wing of the living creature. See all the eyes and the feathers? That's what one of them, they look like that. Their wings look like that. If you look to the left side, you'll see it looks like the shape of a face. Do you see it? It's in the left side of the screen in the middle, coming out of that cloud. Looks like it's got a little lump on its head, a forehead, an eye, and a protruding jaw. How many people see it? Let me see. Well, there won't be no mistake about what you're going to see next. We're driving, and the Holy Spirit said, watch. It's trying to hide. We're going to shed our light into the darkness and expose what it is. And the next thing we saw was the next one. Don't you love the Holy Spirit? How many people can see the face of the witch? You see the same lump on the head, the same protruding jaw, the tongue sticking out. It was trying to hide from us because it was embarrassed. And it was really angry that it was exposed, and it knew I could see it. That is a witchcraft spirit. Guess what? Leaving town because through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, we told it had to, and it had to obey. So if you ever wondered, are they real? There's evidence right there. That is not just a cloud formation, is it? That's a witchcraft spirit. And its tongue goes all the time. It creates lies against you. It gets people to lie against you. It's a controlling spirit. It wants to control people. And so its tongue is a big part of it. And so there's the same protruding chin, the neck going up. There's the chin, the tongue sticking out. Its eye by its pointy nose. And there's that little bump head thing. I was really excited when I saw it. I couldn't wait to take the picture. I went, now we can show them the other side. And the Holy Spirit said, because you're willing to talk about the unseen realm, we're going to let you show both sides. So don't let a witchcraft spirit control your life. Okay? Don't run after witchcraft. There is no good witchcraft. No good witches and bad witches. Is that true? Yes. All right, that's one of the lying signs and wonders the enemy will use in the last days. He's seeding people to receive that by what they're watching. They're watching it. They go, oh, no, that person is a good witch. That one operates in the good witchcraft. That one's the bad witchcraft. Because at one point, the world's going to know God is real, so he has to come up with the lying signs and wonders, and part of them is that. And at one point on your lunch hour in the years ahead, you can go out and see people raising the dead or growing out arms and legs through the power of Jesus Christ on one side of a park. On the other side, the witches will teach you to levitate. They'll teach you to levitate. If you're willing to learn, they'll be glad to teach you because then they will have an attachment to you. Those are lying signs, and they'll tell you, see, there is good witchcraft. We're not doing harm. We're teaching you something to have fun. And then they'll heal somebody right before your eyes. All the enemy has to do is take his hands off. And the healing will take place. And see, that's a lying sign and wonder. Because he can't stand there and say, you can do what you want to. There's no God. Because of the miraculous and the glory being released on the earth, they're all going to know there's a God. That's in Habakkuk, right? The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. That means they will know God is real. If they know his glory, they know he is real. So the enemy will then start using the lying signs and wonders. So that's why it's important for you to watch what you enter into, because it's going to enter into your life. That's what the Holy Spirit says. Whatever you enter into willingly, it will enter into your life. If you're willing to embrace witchcraft, the witchcraft will enter into your life. And it will have some level, may not be able to kill you, but have some level of control. That's what a witchcraft does. It controls you. It brings deception. It brings confusion. So be careful where you go and what you watch. You don't want things to attach themselves to you. And after traveling around now, I'm almost horrified at what some of the body is willingly going after. And I went, how could you even think that resembles anything in heaven? How can you even think that God is okay with you watching those things or doing those things when the word speaks against them? It lists what won't be in heaven. Okay, you can't do those things and think you're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You got to be free. The word says all the time, be free from sin. Stop sinning. Does it say that? Yes. If you think it's okay, read the book of Romans. I challenge you. If you know people that sin, think it's okay, tell them to read the book of Romans. It talks about what righteousness is and darkness is. I'm sure every pastor would be really happy if their people would learn that. And this is what God said. I want my people, now I'm not talking about renewing things. He wants his people to stop clogging up the altars of his house. He didn't put the altar there so you could come back every week and repent. The altars are for the lost, not the sheep. The altars are for the world to come in and find God. You're not supposed to get filled up and then leak out and sin all week long and then come back to get filled back up and repent again. I'm sure your guardian angel would be very grateful if he could delete a lot of stuff in your record. Make him happy. Let him write the God things in there, okay, that you're doing. You need to live your life like somebody was there all the time because they are. Hebrews 12:1, there's a great cloud of us surrounded. We are surrounded. If you ever wonder if they're watching, you are surrounded. Not one person watching from heaven. You're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses from heaven. A witness can see and hear. Is that right? So run your race. What's the next thing say? Get the sin out of your life. Any weight, anything that holds you back, get rid of it. You don't want to get pulled off in the ditch or have to climb over junk that you caused yourself, right? I'll give you a little bit more revelation, and then I'm gonna just release some stuff on y'all. We're going to break some stuff. Breakthrough has come for your life. We're going to break anything the enemy thinks he has still attached to you. It's going. In Jesus' name. You will begin to find, after this weekend, you will begin to actually sense the supernatural presence of God in your life. The supernatural direction of the Holy Spirit. Some of you will have supernatural encounters, divine encounters. When the supernatural is released into an area or a region or a place, it starts showing up. And tonight, you felt the angelic in this room. You felt the presence of the throne room of God in this room. And yes, I know the Lord was watching. He was right up on this platform, right over there. Watching everything going on. He was dancing with the dancers, okay? They love to dance in heaven. It's a holy thing. Read Psalms 149 if you don't think so. I don't know why somebody thinks there'd be no music in heaven. That wouldn't be heaven, would it? No, the dance belongs to God, the music, the instruments, it all belongs to God. And he is about to release his frequency of his voice into his people's voices and into instruments. And when you speak, something supernatural will happen because of the presence of God in your voice. Sometimes instruments we play when nobody's singing, like when King David played, remember that? That was an anointing on him when he played that instrument. Remember what happened? The demons left. We're about to see that happen a lot in congregations. Amen. Your ministry team, your musicians need to get ready for them all to have the frequency of God put in those instruments. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give you just a real visual to think about. When you go in to see a movie, into a movie theater, my eyes are open, so I see it all the time. You go in there, I already know what's bad. Number one, I find out what's in them before I go. You can go to different places online and check it out. I think there's one called SeenIt.com. There's a couple other ones that I've already looked at everything. They'll tell you every curse word, every vile action, what kind of violence it is. I mean, they'll tell you all of that in a list. Then you decide, is that stuff in heaven? Do I think that God would like to come and sit here and watch that with me? Because doesn't he live in you? Yes, he does. And then you know ahead of time what's there, but a lot of people just go in. They go in, just go into anything they want to see because, you know, the government or our world says if you're over a certain age, you can watch anything. They call R-rated movies rotten in heaven. That's right. That's exactly what they call them. There are none in heaven, in case you wonder. They have movies in heaven, but there's nothing of the enemy, no wickedness, no foul language, no sensuality, no gross violence. None of it exists in any of the movies in heaven, but they're intense, exciting, adventurous, and funny. Amen. But in the theaters today, when I walk in there, there are, I told you already, spiritual buildings and places built in the spirit realm around you, areas that Satan rules. There's all kinds of things he has built, but areas and regions that God is moving in or is going to move in, they have all kinds of things they've built where angels come and stay there on assignment while they're assigned here on earth. And there's a huge platform built around this building here. It looks like a crystal stadium. And every time we pull up, I see thousands of angels standing on it, watching your race. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. I've seen them many different places, but I've also seen other ones. They have dark clouds over them, and there's witchcraft controlling spirits that are in that place, in those congregations and some of the people, and interferes with what's going on the platform and in the people. God wants them free. I don't speak against any people. He wants them free. Even your worst enemy, he wants free. Your relative that wished you lived on the other side of the world, God wants them free. Stop saying how bad they are. The enemy doesn't need any help confirming it, does he? You say what they say in heaven. I declare they'll become a mighty man or woman of God. I declare they'll be free in Jesus' name. I declare they won't miss their destiny. I declare they become the living testimony of the saving power of Jesus Christ. You got family members running from God? Say that over them. Then you're agreeing with heaven. I walk through these theaters and there are spiritual ledges. Right outside where you go in the doors, there's a spiritual ledge, sort of like this top of this pulpit here. There's a spiritual ledge, and there's demons sitting on it. And when people go in to watch the things of the enemy, every person who walks in the door is vomited on. Did you think the enemy didn't mark you? How do you think he hunts? Because you know what? He's not the Holy Spirit. The devil can't read your thoughts. He can put thoughts in your mind. He hears your words and sees your actions. And so they just have demons situated everywhere, and they keep note, and they mark you when they know that you've done something wrong. Then, no matter where you go after that, every demon who sees you knows you did something wrong if you don't repent. And then they'll hunt you and try to get you to fall again. That's how somebody can go being a strong believer to living in the pits, because they didn't repent the first time they did something wrong. Does that sound practical to you? Because they are an army, just like heaven has an army, only they hate each other. And they vomit this stuff on you, and I see people coming out and they've got this green slime dripping all over them. I think it's kind of strange that in the video games when you kill a demon, what comes out of them? Green slime, isn't that amazing? I wonder where they got that idea. So they will mark you, and then they will hunt you. So you didn't hide anything from anybody. If you did something wrong, they will know. If you repent, it's instantly removed, and it was like it was never there. So it's important to make sure. But, you know, we want to live a godly life. Take up your cross daily. Die to your own desires in your flesh and pursue the things of the Spirit. Amen. So all around you in the supernatural realm on this earth, in heaven, you're being watched. And you need to live your life for Him. Everything in your life, I know that may be hard for young people to understand, but the greatest thing you do is give yourself to God and never leave Him. You start young and pursue Him. You'll do mighty things for the kingdom of God. The good news is this, I don't care how old you are, if you've got breath in your body, you can still do great things for God. Amen. In the supernatural realm, even out in space, there are amazing things built in the spirit realm that no camera will ever find. They say there's no God, there's no heaven, but guess what? They're always looking for it. They recently found something that looked like a big, bright pearl, and they thought, I wonder if that could be heaven. Although we know it doesn't exist, but I wonder if it could be it. I don't know how anybody could not look at what's in space and not believe there's a God. I love to tell people, go to NASA, NASA.com, and look at God's creation out in space. Amen. It's beautiful in its design, in the color, and the way things are created. In heaven, your clothing makes music. It changes colors when you wear it. You get light shows right over your mansion if you like that stuff. Just because you like it, God gives it to you. There's nothing on this earth worth missing being with Jesus in heaven. He should be the love of your life. I love Him first and then my husband. I've been married to be 35 years this year. I'm determined, amen. And you know what? We never had a honeymoon. We have one every day of our life. But we never actually had an actual one. My husband has the best mother-in-law joke of anybody in the face of the earth. Trust me. She was in our room on our honeymoon night. We got married in Ohio. We're heading back. Got caught in a blizzard. We stopped up in the mountains. There was one place to stay. My mother, my sister, my husband, and I were in there, my brand new husband. They came and said, we have one room. Now, how's that for me? And my husband was a Marine. Thank God he had strength. My mama wanted to crawl in the closet. My mama's such a lady, such a lady. Miss Propriety. Okay, she wouldn't let us have a dot on our face. We were going to be young ladies growing up, but I found out when she was 10, 11, she ran through the sewers in New York City. You should laugh at that. The clean part, not where the stuff is, okay? You find out all that stuff about your parents when you go home to heaven. You get to watch their life relive with no sin and see all the crazy, silly things they never told you about but tell you not to do. It's worth going just for that. So it was just like, how many people watched the Waltons years ago? It was just like being in the Waltons. Good night, Mom. Good night, honey. Good night, Bing. Good night, Mom. Good night, Alice. Good night. She was happy. She was excited. That was my sister. So that was a great adventure. So we were all together on our honeymoon night. Isn't that wonderful? Then we got home and he got called out, so we didn't really have him. But on our 35th wedding anniversary, he better watch out. Because I'm going to collect for 35 years of loving that man. I expect to have something wonderful. Amen. Yeah. Amen. You will be best friends in heaven. Trust me, you'll do so many fun, exciting things. You get to do things together. You're not husband and wife. You're just, you know, belong to God. He said, I loaned you all for a while to each other. When you come home to heaven, you're my kids. You're my kids, but you have an amazing life up there. But we, the body of Christ, will have an amazing life on this earth in the days ahead to show off the power and glory of God. So, amen. When you worship God on this earth, I know some of you know this, but He wants me to share it anyway. If we're running too late, I'm not apologizing. You want this information. In the supernatural realm,
When you worship and pray, you are creating a supernatural power source that comes from your being. You release it into the atmosphere. When you worship God, all worship goes into the throne room of God. Even in heaven, when you worship, you ride on your praise across the skies into the throne room. You ride on music, light, sound, color. You're not held down to what this earth, how you do on this earth. So when you worship down here in the spirit realm, you create beautiful things, colors, ribbons of color come from you. From your mouth, you weave beautiful tapestries that look like a masterpiece of artwork. When you dance like they did today, tonight, the angels come and put a spiritual canvas under your feet, and you paint a masterpiece with your love as you worship him and dance. When you play instruments, the same thing happens. I can see ribbons of color coming out, and they begin to twine and weave this beautiful tapestry of your love. When an artist paints for God, as they're painting a masterpiece, off of that brush comes music in the spirit realm. You create a symphony when you're painting that painting. In heaven, the symphonies of heaven, the conductors are the artist. Now, don't try to bend that around your mind, but the symphonies are all here facing that way, and the artists are like this painting, and as they're painting, they play what they paint. Because they hear the tones and the sounds, and they're playing what they're painting. It's a supernatural place. Down here, you still create that stuff in a supernatural way that they capture and take to heaven. So you're producing praise. It also has to pass through the second heaven, where the enemy has his throne sitting on a mountain of skulls. He has a palace. It's his. He rules from that place. He doesn't supposed to be there. You know what? Even the second heaven does not belong to him. A lot of people talk about the second heaven being, ooh, a place of darkness. It's ugly. It's awful. He took it wrongfully. It's not supposed to be his. It says the heavens and the highest heaven belong to God. That's all the heavens, right? When we begin to operate the way we're supposed to be, a lot of them are going to be pulled down off of those places. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I want you to get a vision of that. Your body might be here, your spirit might be here, but your authority is in heaven seated with Christ. You need to rule from there in this world. You think of your authority coming from heaven. You're seated, the word says, in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. The authority he had, we have been given to us in this earth. To push back the darkness. It wouldn't be so bad now if we were doing our job, would it? Amen. Well, we're going to start doing it. And this world is going to know us by our love for each other, by the power of God evident in our life, visibly seen on our homes and on our faces. Amen. When you pray, according to James, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What is that much? It avails much power on behalf of the kingdom of heaven. When you pray that way for any situation in the spirit realm, in the supernatural realm, you're creating another supernatural weapon. Out of your mouth comes a sword. You're creating a weapon with the effectual, fervent prayer. And the reason it avails much power is when you're done, you have a huge sword you created. The angel of the Lord comes and takes it, and he goes and fights the enemy right then. In the book of Daniel, when the angel came, he said, we have come for your words. Why? Because they had created a weapon that they could use to fight the enemy about the situation he was praying about. Now, the battle that happened before, that was before Christ lived in us, they fought to get down to him. They hadn't yet fought on what he was praying for. They needed that weapon he created. That sword he created, that power he created, they took it and went and fought. They came for his words, the weapon he created. Your words have power in them. Amen. Don't you ever pray the same. Don't think he's not hearing you. Just because he didn't answer doesn't mean no. Amen. But in the days ahead, you will stand and declare and decree a thing, and it will be established unto you. Amen. So people need to know there is a supernatural realm. You are a supernatural being. You have a right to operate in it through the blood of Christ. The enemy is also a supernatural created being. When he fell, he still had power. He is the prince and power of the air. Now he's only the prince. Who are we? Kings and priests before our God, right? So he is not supposed to be taking the atmosphere. When you speak ungodly words, when you trash people, when you gossip and backbite, you give that air to the enemy. He comes and takes authority in the air around you where you just spoke. And you know what? We're supposed to take it back from him. Don't create something like that in your home. When you trash people with your mouth, now you create a weapon when you pray effectually for them, but when you trash people, a cesspool comes out of your mouth. Blessing and cursing should not come out of the same fountain. That's you. That's you. That's what it means. You can't bless people and turn around and curse them. You bless people, the river of life flows out of you into them. You curse them, a cesspool comes out. And the enemy will come and take authority in that realm you just gave him from your words, because he is the prince and power of the air. When you publish a book, record a CD, or produce a movie that helps the gospel, every time somebody reads it, watches it, or listens to that music, the atmosphere around them is taken away from the enemy. You have a way you can take it back. This is part of living in the supernatural. You are a supernatural being. You have supernatural abilities through the blood of Christ. You can take back the air from the enemy. Amen. If he asks you to write a book, please write the book. If it changes one life, it'll be worth it. If he asks you to produce a CD, produce a CD and get it, because every time somebody plays it, it takes back atmosphere from the enemy. That's why he hates it when believers can do that. They're controlling and taking back atmosphere. You need to see yourself every time you pray or listen to something or read something that's been produced for God. You're taking atmosphere. The air he wants to live in, you take it back. Amen? Well, there's a huge bunch of air around this place that he can't rule in anymore right now. You took it back by your decision to walk in the glory of God, carry the glory of God, and pursue him. You literally sucked whole regions of atmosphere away from him, and now you have created an open heaven by what you've done with your life so far. Amen. Keep going forward. Don't stop. Keep pursuing him. Walk in holiness. Amen. Stand up, please. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So everybody, just look up to heaven for a second. Close your eyes. I want you to picture something. I want you to picture yourself standing before the throne of the living God. I'm going to give you a visual of what that looks like. You step into realms of glory. When you first get to heaven, you are surrounded by realms of glory. Everything is alive. The buildings, the ground, the plants, everything sings about his glory. You hear music coming from everywhere. There are angels that you can see over tops of even some of the biggest buildings in heaven. You literally see them with your eyes. Some of them 500 foot tall, 1,000 feet tall, some of them. Standing planted around where the throne room of God is. They're singing glorious songs. The living, it looks like their clothes that they're wearing is alive. Like liquid light, some of them. Because they're around his throne room. You see waves of the rainbow coming out through the throne room walls from the very heart of God created by your worship. You get so excited inside. You begin to feel the heat of his love before you ever get to where you enter into the throne room of God. The river of life is streaming past you. People are jumping in it, laughing, throwing that living water on them. Picking up beautiful, priceless gemstones that represent the heart of God, and they're holding them. They have life in them. They just came from the living God. They flow from his heart into the river of life. They flow all over heaven, and they create the crystal sea where rainbows shoot out of the crystal sea wherever you go. You walk in, Jesus comes down the steps of the throne. The people part like the Red Sea because they know you're coming home for the first time. Your life is so, your being is so energized. You never thought you really think, how could I think I was alive before? The very life of God is pouring into my being. You feel like you're going to explode with joy, unspeakable. Glory is coming out of every part of your being. You're engulfed in it. Jesus comes down. You look in his face. You just start worshiping his holy name. He holds his hand out. There's the scar right by his wrist, huge enough to stick your finger through. You're overwhelmed with the love that you feel coming from him. But guess what? There's no unworthiness in you. Nothing. No condemnation. No matter what you may have done in your life, it's wiped away by the love. You are accepted. You know you're accepted. You're his son, his daughter coming home for the first time. People are already beginning to celebrate in the throne room. Your family members have already crowded around you and gone in there with you. They're so excited that you're about to be welcomed home by your dad. You begin to walk up the steps. They're high and lifted up. The throne is in the middle of the throne room. The glory just explodes from him everywhere. Lightning bolts shoot out of the throne. Those are 1,000,000 megawatts of love. People run into those lightning bolts. Waves of glory coming off. The seraphim dipping down out of the glory cloud. Fire coming out of their heads, singing glories to him. The living creatures all have their backs turned to you because they're looking at them. Powerful beings whose size and magnitude cannot be measured. The very fact that they're standing there, you feel life energy flowing from them. Every one of those thousands of eyes in their body are staring at you. You walk up every step of the throne and look into the step. You glance down and you see creation taking place somewhere. Somewhere in heaven, something's being created. Something out in space, still, creativity, it never stops. It flows from him. You actually can see it like a moving picture in the steps of the throne. You come further and further up the throne. You begin to hit by the glory, those rays of color. The color passes into your being till it becomes a part of you. You see the life coming in and out of the Father, flowing in, riding on the glory. They move, they live, they exist in him. You're overwhelmed, every part of your being, everything you thought you were going to ask him melts away. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters except you're coming back to him. You know that you know you lived with him. You know you came from him. You know this is home. It was always my home. I will forever live with him. Jesus is talking about the Father all the way up the steps because that's why he came. The Father asked him, his love for the Father took him to the cross, that passion that burned inside of God, that same love that he had lived in, the Word, his name was the Word. The Word became flesh. Do you want to know what his name was before he became Jesus? His name was the Word. Everything God willed and spoke, he did it, and creation took place. You're standing there in front of the triune God. The appearance of the Holy Spirit is to the left side of the throne, unfathomable in depth and size, colors shooting out of his invisible being. You see fire, living fire coming out all the way around his image. Swirls of colors and fabrics that he is shooting off of himself to you, and they begin to swirl around you like a garment as you walk up the throne. You finally stand before the Father, and the glory is so blinding when you look, but you can't help but look. You get closer and closer until you can look beyond those rays of glory, and you see his eyes looking at you. You will be undone. Blue fire, you see in his eyes, the very fire that burns in his heart, you see it in his eyes for you. And he will lean forward and take you in his arms. and he'll hold you to himself, and you think, I'm melting into him. I don't care if I ever exist in any other way or place or time. I want to be right here. And he'll just hold you and hold you. You're overwhelmed. It was worth everything you did to get there. Everything you gave up, everything you thought mattered, doesn't matter anymore at this moment. There's silence in the throne room as the Father embraces you. And then he'll turn you around and say, look, my son, my daughter, they have come home. Jesus just got to do one of the greatest pleasures he'll ever have in his life. The prize the Father showed him was him taking us one at a time up the steps of the throne and giving us back to the Father. It is his greatest desire and pleasure is to take you personally back to the Father and give you back to him. And say, look, Dad, here's another one. Here's another one. They've come home. I brought them back to you. And he's overwhelmed with joy. And the Father turns around. He begins to say to the people, he'll give your name. They've come home. Look, they're home. This is what they've done for me. And he'll begin to say some of the things you did with your life to the people there in the throne room. He reveals some of the things you thought nobody knew you did in secret. He rewards you openly in his throne room. He'll place medallions and things on you at this point. He gives you gifts right there at the throne. He doesn't wait till you get home. Your mansion. I don't think I've ever mentioned this before. He takes your robe of righteousness and places it on you himself. You're already wearing your gown of salvation that's lit with the glory of God. These robes of righteousness look like a king or queen's robe. They're embellished with gemstones. Every time you portray his heart on this earth, he takes a piece of his heart from himself and puts it on your robe. He knows what you've done for him. He writes in his book of remembrance. And then he'll give you back to Jesus. And Jesus walks you back down and everybody will run at you in the throne room. They will be so happy you're there. Your family members, people start dancing and celebrating. The angels rush in. They begin to dance with the people and celebrate with the people. The glory of God falls down on you. Everybody goes down and you're just engulfed in this river of love. You don't care if you don't know anything else, but after a while goes by, guess what? Your family member's going to drag you out. They're going to drag you out because they've been waiting a long time for you to get there. They want to take you to your mansion because they've been getting gifts for you. You have the biggest welcome home party you'll ever have in your mansion. Amazing, beautiful things that God had created, that people in heaven created because you use your gifts in heaven. They'll come get things for you, and then you'll have a celebration party in the throne room. Then you go to your mansion and have one. Then people begin to come visiting you. They bring you gifts. The disciples come and visit you. They bring you gifts. You get taken on tours of heaven everywhere you go. Somebody gives you something. They have to. People love to give in heaven. Who wouldn't want to live there? In absolute love, no fear, no crime, no hate, no coveting. That is the glory, the supernatural realm, the supernatural place called heaven. It lives in you now as a believer. You have access to that realm through your prayers, through the way you live your life. You are supernatural beings inside of you through the blood of Jesus Christ. You'll operate in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ like no other generations of believers have. They're up there watching your life. They're excited about what God's going to do with you. Amen. Amen. Say, Father. Thank you for creating me. Thank you for making me in your image. Thank you for revelation. My life will never be the same again. I will embrace my destiny. I will pursue my destiny. I will be a champion of heaven. Thank you, Father, for the protection of the angelic host. Thank you, Father, for supernatural provision.
I will trust you
no matter what happens.
I choose to believe you
and not the world,
not the enemy,
and not man.
I have you.
You have me.
What can man do unto me?
No weapon formed against me
will prosper.
Any tongue that rises up against me,
you will condemn.
I am free.
I am filled with your power.
And I embrace my destiny.
Watch
me
run.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to hold your hands out right now. Hold your hands out up here. Father, right now,
through the blood of Jesus Christ,
I take authority
and dominion
over any power of the enemy
operating in my life.
I shut that door
if I've opened one.
I seal it with the blood of Jesus Christ.
And I tell the enemy,
I will not follow you.
I will not be deceived by you.
You will not touch me.
But I, through the power
of Jesus,
will wreck your kingdom.
Will push back darkness
until the light of God
and the glory of God
is known around this world.
This night,
I decree it.
I declare it.
So establish it.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
I am excited for you. I already know God has got many plans for many of you here. Everyone, God has a destiny, a plan for you. Many of you think you've missed what God called you to do. It wasn't His timing yet. You didn't miss anything. He was saving you for the last days.
Amen. You'll do greater works than many
they've never done before you. So get ready to have a supernatural life and a supernatural realm. And God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you for letting me come and share. And God be with you and bless you, and all the glory goes to
God.
Amen.